welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we're going to do a virtual Veterans Day on the Hill, and we're going to hear from the senior enlisted leader of the Minnesota National Guard. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General John Jensen.
Our state's Yellow Ribbon Network is an incredible resource as we work to connect service members, veterans, military families, employers, and communities. They help ensure the resilience of those who serve. Started right here in Minnesota, our Yellow Ribbon program is now the model for networks across the nation. Since we proclaimed our first Yellow Ribbon Network in 2008, hundreds more have emerged in counties, cities, communities, and at companies statewide. These self-sustaining networks draw together agencies, community leaders, and volunteers. They strive to support the service members, veterans, and military families of any age and from any era that live and work in their area. The continued growth and improvement of this program is vitally important as service members and their families continue to adapt to increasing demands and training requirements we see across the force. To all of our incredibly generous and dedicated Yellow Ribbon volunteers, thank you. You help ensure our service members and their families remain resilient and ready to serve. If you're ready to join a Yellow Ribbon network near you or make your large company or community Yellow Ribbon, please visit beyondtheyellowribbon.org. That's beyondtheyellowribbon.org.
Thank you, General Jensen. For more information, please go to minnesotamilitaryradio.com. The 2020 Veterans Day on the Hill was canceled due to COVID-19, and the legislative session has been modified to address unexpected issues and schedules. And today's show, we're going to try to cover some of the issues that the Commander's Task Force has pointed to for this year. And joining me for this show as my co-host is the National Commander of the DAV, Disabled American Veterans, Butch Whitehead. Commander, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Hey, thanks, Sam. Thanks for having me on the show.
And, of course, you're also the Executive Director of the DAV of Minnesota and a frequent guest on the show. Good to have you back. And we have some other guests on joining us today. We've got one of our favorite Marines, Todd Kemery, who is the Vice President of the Paralyzed Veterans of America and this year's Chair of the Commander's Task Force. Todd, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Tom. I appreciate that.
In a few moments, Todd, we're gonna get to some special items that you want to talk about today that you ordinarily would have talked about at the last couple of years. You had lots and lots of veterans join you on Veterans Day of the Hill over at the Capitol, and they had an opportunity to come up and talk to their legislators about some of these issues. So due to COVID, we're going to have to do it by radio today. And joining us to help us with that is Representative Bob Detmer, who is the lead of the Veterans and Military Affairs Finance and Policy Committee. And Representative Detmer served in the Army Reserves and retired as a Chief Warrant Officer IV. And Representative Detmer, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Tom and Butch. It's great to be here again, and we wish we were together at Vets on the Hill. It's a great opportunity.
Well, sir, things are a little different this year, and everybody's had to change since the COVID-19 pandemic. The state government has had to adjust priorities and establish business practices, and even with these changes due to the pandemic, the needs of our service members, veterans, and military families remain. Veterans community had hoped to address these issues en masse during another Veterans Day on the Hill and are concerned that pressing issues may be put on hold. And Representative Detmer, I know you've enjoyed those days when all those veterans came up to the Capitol in the past.
Well, Tom, it's fun. And I know last year, the way the DAV put it all together and bussed in all the veterans from around the state, I think from all 87 counties, standing on the podium there, I looked up, and all three levels of the Capitol was filled with standing room only of veterans. And it was a great time to get together, and then allowing the veterans to get around to see their legislators is another big example of what we can do here in Minnesota.
And we hope to go back to that format next year. But, sir, on today's show, we're going to use a panel format. Of course, I'm back here at the studio with Sergeant Ben, and we've got the National Commander, Butch Whitehead, with us. Todd Kemery, the chair of the Commander's Task Force, is with us, and Representative Bob Detmer is here, and Representative Rob Eklund will join us later. But I want to dig right into the first topic here, and the first topic is about transferring of surviving spouses' property tax exclusion to new property. And Commander, can you give us some background on that?
Sure, Tom. The 2019 legislative session eliminated the 8-year limit on surviving spouse provision and the property tax exclusion. The law ensures that surviving spouses of those who died during or as a result of their service in the United States military can remain in their homes without the burden of property tax. Upon passing of the veterans, however, the surviving spouse often wishes to downsize from their current dwelling into a smaller dwelling. The veterans community in Minnesota wishes to expand the benefit so that the surviving spouse of a deceased veteran who utilizes the homestead market value exclusion can transfer the property tax exclusion to a new property.
And Todd, you've been working on this topic for many years, and last year you had kind of a breakthrough, but now we want to tweak it a little bit.
Absolutely. So first off, I'd like to recognize Trent Dilks as being the main driving force on this. Even before I became part of the Commander's Task Force, he was laying the groundwork for this particular bill. But it's in two parts. The first part was accomplished, and the second part is the tax transferability aspect of it, and that's what we're going to have to continue with that fight. But that's the update on that, and we've worked alongside Trent on being able to keep this as a conversation and a focal point up at the Capitol.
Representative Detmer, I know that most of the time at the Capitol today is devoted to trying to fight this COVID-19, but the other business of the state keeps going on, and of course there's issues important to our veterans. And one of the things it seems to me is that if a spouse loses a veteran, they don't get a raise, and quite often they get less Social Security, and sometimes they need to downsize the house out of a bigger house into a condo, and it would seem appropriate that they should be able to transfer the property tax exclusion. And I hope the legislature will have some time to work on some of these issues.
That's right, Tom. And just to maybe give a quick update on this piece of legislation, you know, we've been working on it for years. And Trent Dilts has spent a lot of time in my office. Also, the counties have spent a lot of time discussing this, and because it is handled at a county level. And House File 205, that's the current piece of legislation right now that they were carrying forward to allow that one-time transfer of that benefit. And it passed through the Veterans Committee, and now it's sitting in the Tax Committee. And I hope that that we can get it through the Tax Committee, get it to the House floor, get it maybe within a tax bill and get it going forward, because this is something that the Commander's Task Force has been their priority piece of legislation for years. And we got rid of that 8-year, as mentioned, and now we want to allow that one-time transfer.
Representative Detmer, it's an unusual year. COVID-19 has kind of tipped the whole state and the whole country, the whole world on its ear. How difficult is it to try to focus on issues like this when we're trying to deal with trying to get people back to work and a terrible pandemic?
Well, it's really amazing. I've had going on to over 20 different conferences, whether it's by phone or by Zoom, where you can actually see people, you know, face-to-face, you could say. And it's been working fairly well. I've had all these different committee meetings versus on the Zoom program. And I think we can get a piece of legislation like this through, even though we're under these circumstances, and because it is a priority, and it's something that we need to do, and it is something that the counties are really looking at, and basically they support this because it puts the higher price piece of property back on the tax rolls, and so the surviving spouse would be able to move into a smaller property.
And it's good for everyone in that case. Representative Detmer, we have to take a short break. When we come back, we hope we'll be joined by Representative Eklund. And we've got four more items that we'd like to talk to over the course of the next two segments. So please stay with us. This is our virtual version of Veterans Day on the Hill on Minnesota Military Radio. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we're doing a virtual Veterans Day on the Hill, in a panel format, and our panel so far has been my co-host, Butch Whitehead, National Commander of the DAV, Todd Kemmery, Chair of the Commander's Task Force, and a member of the PVA of America, Representative Bob Detmer from the Veterans and Military Affairs Committee, and joining us now is Representative Rob Eplin, who is Chair of the Veterans and Military Affairs Finance and Policy Committee, and he's out of District 3A and also served in the United States Marines. Representative Eplin, welcome back, and I'm glad you could join us.
Yeah, thank you, and I appreciate you making the time to make this work. As some of you know, I was testifying in a committee hearing prior, so thank you.
Well, we appreciate you taking good care of business over there, sir, and glad to have you back. And we've been going through a few questions, and one of them was about transferability of surviving spouse's property tax that we discussed in the last segment. And in this segment, we want to talk a little bit about support for our veterans' homelessness in Minnesota. And Butch, you want to give us a little background on that?
Sure, Tom. Minnesota veterans continue to struggle with the issue of homelessness. Minnesota ecosystem of veteran support recognizes that this social issue must be addressed one veteran at a time. Veterans want to ensure that MDVA has a supplement budget that better addresses programs that eliminate veterans' homelessness.
And Todd, you're this year's chair of the Commander's Task Force, and it's been your job to kind of focus in on some of these issues. And I know that the veteran community has been focused on drawing down the number of veterans on the Minnesota Veterans Homeless Registry. And this pandemic has made the plight of our homeless veterans even worse. Can you share with us what are the veteran service organizations and the Commander's Task Force doing to work on this?
Absolutely, Tom. So I've got a report earlier today from Tommy Johnson, who's the legislative director for VFW. But there are programs out there that include both the national and also our local Minnesota level programs that can be utilized by any veteran that is finds himself homeless. Different programs such as the HUD Dash, there are supportive services for veterans' families. There's something called SOAR, which is the Social Security Outreach and Access Recovery Program. There's quite a list of things that can be utilized and tapped into if we have veterans that are that we know about that are homeless, and we can put them in the right spot. So what I'd like to do is there are three agencies out there, or I should say three veterans organizations out there, Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the County Veteran Service Officers website, and also MACV are three great resources to go to, and they list everything that is possible out there to help with our homeless veterans issues.
Thank you, Todd. Representative Eplin, the most vulnerable in our society are feeling the effects of the pandemic greatly, with reduced services, reduced access to care, and lack of employment. Can you share with us what is the legislature doing to try to address this issue and help with the homeless issue?
Well, one of the first things, and thank you, that's a great question. One of the first things that we did when we started passing our COVID-related bills after we went into this emergency situation is one of the first COVID-related bills, and I don't recall the number now, but it was we passed $6.2 million to the State Soldiers Assistance Fund, and That's been a tremendous help. The Mr. Johnson from MDVA gave us an overview at our committee hearing earlier this week on what's going on with that fund, and it's been accessed quite a bit since the money was made available. And their MDVA is really pleased with the success of that. Two other things that we're doing, and we're getting the bills jacketed. We don't know if the funds are available because of this pandemic situation that we're in, but we're going to have some budget bills ready to go if the funding's available to address veterans homelessness specifically, and veteran suicide prevention. So that's the legislation we're looking at going forward. I've talked to extensively with MDVA on this, and also with Dominic Cleary, I think his name is, in the governor's office. I can't remember his last name right offhand. And we're in the process of getting this language developed and have it ready in case that we do have the money available to put into the governor's supplemental budget.
Thank you, sir. This is our virtual Veterans Day on the Hill show on Minnesota Military Radio. And Representative Detmer, Representative Eklund talked about the $6.2 million that was available for disaster recovery grants via the MDVA. And we've had Commissioner Herkey on the show the last couple of weeks, and those are going fast. The governor and the legislature moved quickly, and what a great job done, sir.
Well, that's right. And again, that was House File 4556 that included the $6.2 million. And, you know, we have 123,000 veterans in Minnesota, and about 6,150 of those veterans will be about 5% will be qualifying for that $1,000 grants. Even if they'd received grants prior to that, they're still eligible. But our Commissioner Herkey and our past Commissioner Larry Shelito both made a commitment to eliminating homelessness in our veterans population. And many of our counties now have eliminated right across the board the homelessness in their counties. Now, I don't know what it's like now after the COVID-19 has kicked in, but I know we're close to being under 200 homeless veterans, and many of them are in the metro area, obviously, in Ramsey and Hennepin County. So this is a task that we're that the commissioner has made a stand on, and I think we will develop and get, you know, there's 52 pieces of legislation going through the legislature right now. And as the chair, Eklund, said, we're looking at some possible funding for this.
Thank you, sir. I want to move on to another topic. Butch, we want to talk a little bit about the Minnesota Military Museum and Library.
Yeah, Tom, let's talk about House File 2025 that I believe both of you have co-sponsored, a bonding bill to establish a new 42,000-square-foot Minnesota Military History Museum and Library near Camp Ripley, Little Falls. Veterans believe that the rare and prestige military artifacts that showcase our state's history is essential. Private fundraising and support has been pledged to preserve the stories of Minnesota veterans.
And Todd, I want to come back to you. You and I have both been up to the Minnesota Military Museum several times, and it continues to preserve the heritage of those who have served in Minnesota, and it's quite a place, and we've got an opportunity to expand it on some land that was donated. How important is that museum to you?
You know, you mentioned I've been up there, and you have too, several times, and they have displays that are kind of spread out. They have the small building that they have now, and then if you go into the educational building, they have kind of dioramas there. But it would be nice to see, and I find myself actually each time I go up there, I find something new to read about and see about that history of that whole area. It'd be nice to be able to spend a little bit of time and not feel like you have to get out of the way, because that the main building for the museum pieces there, it's kind of cramped in there even for an able-bodied person. But for somebody with a mobility device or a wheelchair like I have, it would be nice to have the aisles a little bit wider and the rooms a little bit bigger and just that little bit of elbow room to be able to stay in one area and take in everything that you happen to be looking at. So, yes, this would be exciting, and I believe that the Commander's Task Force would consider that a priority to be able to have those funds released and be able to do the expansion and provide a central location and not have museum pieces spread out all over the camp, but right there in one location.
Thank you, Todd. Representative Eklund, it's a great opportunity to move that Minnesota Military Museum outside of Camp Ripley, right out by the highway on a piece of donated land, and expand it and put all of those items that we've been collecting to good use.
Yeah, that is a really good bill, and I think you see that the bipartisan support on there. A bunch of us are trying to figure out what's going on with the bonding bill, and of course, it's this time of year in legislature, that's still all a moving part. But I believe it's Representative Crenshaw that has been pushing this. I might be wrong, but I think he's been the main push behind this. And I agree. If we can get that off of Camp Ripley and maybe help get more visitation to it, it'll really be a tremendous asset to the state.
Thank you, sir. And Representative Detmer, just got a few seconds left. I can just visualize that big new museum outside the gates, can't you?
That's right. And, Chair Eklund, you're right. It is Representative Crenshaw's bill. You know, we're looking at $26.8 million for this project. But it's in an area where more people have access to. You don't have to go through the main gate of Ripley. That you can access the museum right there outside the gate.
But still in a great location, so when you're vacationing in the summertime, and I hope all of our listeners can this year, they can stop in and see the Minnesota Military Museum. Gentlemen, we have to take a short break. When we come back, we've got another topic that we want to talk to Todd about, and then we'll close up our panel discussion on Veterans Day on the Hill. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been doing a virtual Veterans Day on the Hill show today. We're going to get back to that in just a moment, but first it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Herkey.
The Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs is proud to be a strong partner with the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers. The CVSOs, as we call them, are county employees who help veterans and their families obtain benefits related to their military service. In Minnesota, all 87 counties are represented by a CVSO. Minnesota's CVSOs are among the best in the nation. They are well-trained, professional, and understand how to navigate the complex VA system. CVSOs are the first stop or the point of contact for veterans and service as their personal advocate. Navigating the claims process is challenging, and many veterans often don't know the right questions to ask. That's where CVSOs step in and help veterans access the benefits they may be eligible for. CVSOs do important work. They sit across from men and women who have worn the uniform and served their country. Minnesota is really lucky to have such a strong, passionate group of CVSOs. As a state, we have a history of leading the way when it comes to innovation and forward thinking. Thank you to all of our CVSOs who day in and day out serve the veterans of this great state.
Thank you, Commissioner Herkey. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. As I said earlier, we've been doing our virtual Veterans Day on the Hill show today in a panel format. And joining us today have been Todd Kemmery, Chair of the Commander's Task Force, Rep. Rob Eklund, Chair of the Veterans and Military Affairs Finance and Policy Committee, Representative Bob Detmer, Republican lead on the Veterans Military Affairs and Finance and Policy Committee, and, of course, my co-host, DAV National Commander, Butch Whitehead. And, Butch, we got one last topic we want to cover, and it's near and dear to your heart, and it's about expanding outdoor opportunities for our disabled veterans.
It sure is, Tom. Opportunities for veterans to connect to outdoor activities have been widely researched and recognized as beneficial. Minnesota offers reduced-cost hunting and fishing licenses for disabled veterans who have disability ratings of 100%. Veterans wish to revise the current policy and to include the state's disabled veterans the opportunity to receive discounted hunting and fishing licenses at the disability rating threshold of 50%.
And Todd, I want to come to you on this one. We've had social distancing and stay-at-home orders for a long time, and it's really amplified the need for veterans to get outdoors. I know I want to get out as often as I can. What are you hearing from our veterans community?
You know, those of us that have a back deck, that's okay, but I'm with you, Tom, on being able to go further than my property. And the nice thing about Minnesota is that our parks and are open as long as we keep the social distancing in mind. But yeah, it's time to get out there, and the weather's changing as we speak to warmer temperatures. So yeah, let's get going.
Butch, I know that the DAV of Minnesota has a lot of outdoor events scheduled for our disabled veterans, and they're in question this year. You're not sure if you're going to get out there.
You're absolutely right. Right now, everything's on hold right now because we're just not sure what we can do when it comes to the social distancing and bringing people together.
Representative Eklund, I realize that at this time this year, fee income and revenue for the state is down, and yet we're asking that more of our disabled veterans be able to access outdoor activities at a lesser rate. Is that something that you think you can deal with this year?
That's a tough one to ask right now because our budget issues are in so much in flux. I'm certainly hoping that we can. I do know that a lot of our parks in the metro area especially have terrific hiking and walking trails that are easily accessible to our disabled vets and disabled folks. We just got to ask that, encourage everybody to use the things that are available, and I would certainly be open to looking at reducing fees for these type of activities if at all possible.
Thank you, sir. Representative Detmer, I know this is a tough ask when we're using up all our rainy day funds to support COVID-19, but there are a number of vets issues here that are important to us.
Well, Tom, there's a veterans camp in my district. It's the disabled veterans camp, and I just got word today that it is open, and for veterans and their families and guests are available to bring their RVs in there, and also there's a waterfront for fishing, and there's a swimming area. So it is open, but you still have to follow the guidelines for the COVID-19 social distancing. And there's some great opportunities there. We've made a lot of improvements in the campground. It dates back to World War I. It used to be an overflow for the Veterans Hospital. And it's a very historic camp. And legacy funds have been used to make improvements there. And by the way, the DNR has been very, very supportive of any type of legislation that we came through up with in terms of allowing veterans to get access to their able to use the facilities at a reduced or no cost at all.
Gentlemen, we're quickly running out of time in our third segment here. I want to come to Todd now. Todd, in about a minute or so, can you sum up what you're trying to accomplish as chair of the Commander's Task Force this year?
Sure, absolutely. Recently, we've had a call from and an ask or request from Commissioner Herkey on being able to support our caregivers and the staff of not only our veterans home, but the cemeteries and our VA facilities. So I've been sending some updates over the past 3 or 4 weeks on how we as the Commander's Task Force can be part of that. And currently, Paralyzed Veterans of America, we've got some signs that we distributed to the vets' homes, the St. Cloud VA facility, the cemeteries, and our home here down here in Minneapolis, VA. So we've got that started. We also are having a meal deal sort of thing, so we have some food delivered to the coworkers and the our caregivers. So that's the need right now, and I'll be sending more updates on how people can participate. So for those of you that if this strikes a note, we would like you to get in contact with your leaderships of the different service organizations, and we'll make that happen as far as putting you on the list on being able to help out with that.
Very good, Todd. Thanks for joining us today, and be well.
Thank you, sir.
Representative Eklund, we've got about a minute. A lot going on, different times in the state. We have to deal with COVID-19, but we still have to get some work done as well.
Yeah, we do. And I've got to compliment Commissioner Herkey on the amount of work and detail that he's putting into working with our veterans issues. And we're going to do what we can to push things through with the governor. We do have the governor's ear, and being a retired guards person himself, these things are near and dear to his heart. And then one other thing that I really want to stress, and I know Representative Detmer will agree on me uh, with me on this is what's nice about our Veterans Committee, and I say our Veterans Committee for a reason, is that this is the least partisan committee that you'll see on Capitol Hill. We work together. Representative Detmer, I had an issue today, and I know Representative Detmer well enough where I could call him up and say what was going on, and I know he appreciated it. I gave him a heads up prior to it. And that's the way we like to work things, out in the open and front and center. I believe in the 2 years that I've chaired this committee, there's only been one bill that hasn't been heard and was introduced, and that was actually a DFL member that introduced it. And I talked to him about why we couldn't hear it, and he understood. So that's my commitment as long as I'm chair of this committee, is that we'll keep in this nonpartisan manner. So I appreciate being on the show, and thank you for your time.
Thank you, sir. Representative Detmer, we have 1 minute left. It's all yours.
Okay. Well, thank you, Tom. And Chair Eklund, you know, you and I have been able to talk about different issues for the veterans and military affairs. And I agree. You know, when I chaired the Veterans Committee, just like you're chairing it, we were able to get through all the different bills that come forward and send them off to the next committee. And I think that's important. And I think people that serve on the committee, they see that, and they feel like you said, it's the best committee in the legislature to serve on. And because we have to remember, we are servants. And when you put on that uniform, or when you retire, or when you're done with your serving, you're still a veteran, and you're still a servant.
Very good, sir. Thank
and
you,
Tom,
Representative
thank you
Detmer.
For bringing us together.
Yes, sir, I want to thank you all for joining us today. And for our listeners, please stay tuned. We'll be right back with Minnesota Military Radio. Well, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. I'm here with my co-host today, Butch Whitehead, who is the National Commander of the Disabled American Veterans. And today we've been doing a virtual Veterans Day on the Hill. And, Commander, a lot of topics over there. The legislature is busy with COVID-19. But there's work to do for the people, and there's work to do for the veterans.
Absolutely, Tom. Today, you know, being a virtual, you know, segment that we're doing, talk about veterans issues, we can't forget that there's other things going on. You know, COVID's taken up a lot of people's time and efforts, which is important, but there's a lot of things that need to be done, especially helping with veterans.
And we talked about some issues today. One was the surviving spouse's property tax exclusion. You know, when a veteran dies, the spouse doesn't get a raise. And sometimes they have to downsize from a bigger house to a smaller house. Sure would be nice if they could transfer that real estate tax exclusion.
That'd be a huge help, Tom. You know, over the last, you know, 5, 6 years, we've really been doing a lot of focus on this. And one piece that keeps getting dropped off is this one-time transferability. And it's so important to our spouses to be able to downsize. They don't need that big house anymore. They lost their loved one. So getting that piece added is a very important task for us here in Minnesota to make sure that our spouses are taken care of as well.
And, Commander, we've been working on ending veterans' homelessness and reducing suicide for seems like a long time, but they're very important issues.
They're very big, and especially even with this COVID-19, this fits really well with what's going on right now, because the homelessness they have, it's a big topic of how do we take care of them? You know, where do we send them? So making sure we don't forget about our homeless veterans during this time as well, but, you know, as we move forward as well, having that plan in place.
And then one of the other items we talked about was expanding outdoor opportunities for disabled veterans. And, of course, you at the DAV of Minnesota have been working on that forever.
Yeah, we have. You know, getting the veterans out into that therapeutical atmosphere, you know, letting them to disengage from the everyday life and really refocus on themselves is an important thing. You know, working with the state of Minnesota here to come up with new plans to expand the program to help more veterans is very important to us.
And then, Commander, the last thing was the Minnesota Military Museum, great place up on Camp Ripley, but it's outgrown its facility, and it's kind of in the way, and had an opportunity to move it outside the gates on some land that was donated. So we'd really like our listeners to support House File 2025 and Senate File 2351.
You know, think about the history and how we talk about the military and this museum, what it brings to not just the people at the Camp Ripley, but the state of Minnesota. We can't forget about the history of what this Minnesota National Guard has done, and that museum up there is doing just that. It's showing so many wonderful things that our soldiers here from the state of Minnesota have done for our country.
So for all our listeners out there and all our loyal listeners listening to Minnesota Military Radio, please take this time to get on the phone and call your elected officials down the state capitol. Congratulate them on working on COVID-19 and keeping us safe, but ask them to remember our veterans and ask them to remember to work on some of these issues while they're at the Capitol.
Absolutely, Tom. And now is the time because they're down to weeks now. They're just down to a couple weeks left into the session. So we need to get the message out there, and we need to get out there quickly.
Thank you, Commander. And I got a little surprise for you.
Uh-oh, what's that, Tom?
You remember last fall we were out to Washington, D.C. with you and witnessed you laying a wreath at at Arlington Cemetery, yep. Which was fantastic. But then we went over to the DAV National Headquarters, mm-hmm. and we did a whole show over there and met a lot of your folks from Washington, D.C. Well, when we came back, we took that show and we submitted it for an award, and we won a 2019 Gold Hermes Award.
Oh, my God.
For the Association of Marketing and Community Professionals, Minnesota Military Radio, Veterans Day at Arlington and the DAV. And we have a Hermes trophy here. I want to read it. It says 2020 Gold Winner, DAV National Commander Butch Whitehead, Minnesota Military Radio, Veterans Day at Arlington, DAV National Headquarters. And we wanted to surprise you on the air today. And
oh, that's a huge surprise.
You get to take this back to the DAV with you. And we had a great trip out there. And what a wonderful opportunity you had to present a wreath at the Tomb of the Unknown.
It was. I mean, it's a memory that I'll have the rest of my life, Tom. And, you know, that laying the wreath is important. But also, the story that show we did, it was unreal. You know, the response to be able to talk about all the important issues that we're doing for the DAV, helping veterans. And this show and what it brought out there, it was a great, great show. And I can't thank you and the team that was out there because it was a wonderful event. It really was. It really set up a great day.
Well, we were honored to be there and at DAV National Headquarters and to meet some of your great people working on all kinds of things to take care of our veterans. And Commander, I want to offer this award is for you to take back
thank
to the
you.
DAV. And I'd like to thank you for joining us today once again for Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks, Tom. And thank you for everything you do for veterans.
Joining me now is the senior enlisted leader of the Minnesota National Guard, Command Sergeant Major Brian Soper. Sergeant Major, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
You bet. Thanks for having me, Tom.
Sergeant Major, we've been talking for months now. It seems like life is a little bit upside down. They've got a thing called a coronavirus, COVID-19, that's changing everything. And I understand you've got several priorities to work on until life gets back to some kind of normal.
That's correct. You know, the organization has done a great job in just identifying some areas that we just need to focus on during this time. And, you know, essentially, number one, and just like our organizational priority otherwise, is the health and welfare of our service members, their families, and the local community. You know, so a lot of the things that we're currently doing, you can see that in as we will maybe talk a little bit later, but now we can mention it as well. We're doing distributed drills as an example, where we're essentially having the soldiers and airmen, instead of coming into their community, you know, their armory or wing, essentially do online training from their home. So we're minimizing, you know, the exposure of our soldiers and airmen, and you know, just trying to make sure we keep our groups smaller than 10. But you know, that's our number one priority during the COVID, pandemic. You know, and then right below that, we're working with our state regarding emergency requirements. As an example, you know, you would think the COVID is enough, but up in Oslo in northwest Minnesota, there was also a flood that was going on. It's pretty much a yearly event. Kind of comes down to a battle rhythm event for the 2136 out of Moorhead. They had up to 15, 20 soldiers up there respond. And, you know, they were doing the number one thing is that they have a levee up there that has to be watched or manned 24 hours. So we had teams that were essentially doing levee watch, walking around the levee to ensure that there weren't any issues, any breaches or any erosion that was occurring. And we were doing that up until last weekend where they the river fell below, you know, whatever the flood stage 37 feet was. And then third, you know, we still got to maintain our readiness of our force in support of national requirements. You know, that's recruiting. You know, we're still doing recruiting, still doing it virtually, still doing that in a safe method. You know, we're still doing schools, and that's another thing that's kind of interesting. We have professional military education that we've had to shift how we conduct that. You know, the best way for us is always to do it in person and in groups. You know, it's just better learning modality. However, based on the numbers that we have of soldiers that need to go through those schools, One of the schools, the largest school that we instruct for the Army is the basic leadership course. In the Guard, we send over 10,000 soldiers a year to that course. And that's the entire National Guard. Excuse me, Army National Guard. But, you know, within the state, you know, that's 300-400 soldiers that we end up having to send through that course. And to completely stop it would just create such a backlog, it'd be really difficult to catch up. So they're actually doing a blended, they've come up with a blended course now that we're going to be able to run to allow our E4s, our specialists and corporals, to attend that course to get credit for it so that they can continue on and be promoted to sergeant when their time comes. And with that, we are doing conditional promotions as well. So we had to, like all other organizations, pretty much put a stop to all travel. And schools, for the most part, have been part of that, have been cut as well or stopped. And so for the soldiers that were affected by the stoppage, the stopping of the courses, we're now able to conditionally promote them so they'll have the opportunity at a later date to go and get the professional military education they require. But, you know, due to no fault of their own, we're going to allow them to be promoted at this time. So,
Sergeant Major, we just got about 30 seconds left. I understand Camp Ripley won an award.
You know, and I just realized I was rambling on, but you know, with that, it's a great recognition for the team up at Camp Ripley. It's the 2020 Secretary of Defense Environmental Awards, and you know, it's a great win for the team up there. They've continued to do great things, and it was in the category of natural resources conservation for the individual team, and it, you know, looked at a lot of things, but one of them was you know, with installations, 28,000 acres of forest. They essentially developed a 10-year or short-term plan on how to manage that forest, which was one of the big parts of that award, is the way I understand it. So, again, great job to the team up at Camp Ripley.
Thank you, Sergeant Major, and thanks for taking the time to join us today.
You bet. Thank you, Tom.
That was a senior enlisted advisor to the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Command Sergeant Major Brian Soper. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, my co-host, DAV National Commander Butch Whitehead, Todd Kemmery from the Commander's Task Force, Representative Rob Eklund and Representative Bob Detmer, Command Sergeant Major Brian Soper, Commissioner Larry Herkey, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General John Jensen. Please join us next week as we talk about the civilian team that supports the Minnesota National Guard and meet another Yellow Ribbon College. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.